All right. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining in. Thank you for plugging in. Thank you for joining us live. We're going to go ahead and get it with the show notes. Welcome to the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast, where we dive into the timeless wisdom of the Bible and Stoic philosophy. I'm your host, Bishop D.D. Lattimore, and I'm honored to be your guide on this spiritual journey. In each episode, we'll explore the rich tapestry of lessons, meditations, and reflections that have shaped many cultures and inspired many hearts throughout the centuries. Whether you're a pastor or a devout believer, or just simply curious about the profound teachings of the Bible, you found a home here. So if you need a friend, find a quiet moment, open up your heart, and join me as we uncover the profound insights and eternal truths woven in these ancient texts. This podcast is brought to you by BizExchange.network. Remember, your network determines your net worth. I joined BizExchange.network because I needed to increase my bottom line. This social media platform will surround you with the people who can help you do just that. For a discount, use the promo code Metaverse. And finally, subscribe to the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast on YouTube. Everyone that becomes a subscriber shares God's light in a dying world right along with us. So let this light so shine before men on YouTube and subscribe today. All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast. We are growing exponentially on social media, on YouTube. And so I'm going to actually be on the YouTube tonight. And we're just going to go through some things that I think is important. But before we do that, I'm sweating up here. But before we do that, let's say a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Yeshua HaMashiach, we do thank you and we give you honor and glory. We magnify your name. There's nobody like unto thee. We thank you for this short Bible study. We thank you for everybody under the sound of my voice. Just thank you for being the God that you are. Thank you for being the only one that can help us save. Ask you that you lift our consciousness so that we can receive that which you have for us and we'll be grateful. In Yeshua's holy name we pray, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen and amen. All right, guys. Today we are talking about seeing our addictions. Seeing our addictions. Actually being able to see the things that trouble us and that ail us, and to actually be able to do something about it, right? We want to be able to actually do something about the things that are dragging us down, okay? So let's get right into the lesson. But before we do that, we're going to open up with Matthew Perry, honestly. Matthew Perry passed not too long ago, 2023, I believe, and Matthew Perry died. His autopsy came back that he passed away in drowned in his jacuzzi pool or tub or something like that. And the autopsy showed that he had some, you know, drugs in his body. Some to help with his addiction and some to help with his pain. And he was addicted to alcohol and opioids. I believe that the news has come out that in 1997, he was in a skiing accident. And through that, he had to take painkillers and got addicted to that, which is the opioids and the alcohol. And He dealt with stress, not the alcohol because of the opioids, but, you know, stress causes, you know, something to drink, and that's how they deal with it. And that's exactly what he was going through. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, he struggled with it. He was very open and honest, you know, with what he had to struggle with. And at the end of the day, even though he was getting better and better, it got him. At the end of the day, his autopsy showed that it actually got to him. And if we don't get our addictions, they're going to get to us. And so we're going to, you know, see what, you know, Stoic Thought gives us about that particular scripture. Then we're going to find those things in the Word of God. We're going to exfoliate those things so that we can get a better understanding of, you know, just how to recognize this, how to search our spirits and our relationship to our own addictions, and how God can help us come up out of that. Okay, so let's get right into the Stoic Thought. You'll find us in the Daily Stoic in January the 8th, called Seeing Our Addictions. Seneca from the Moral Letters 74.12b/13 says, "We must give up many things to which we are addicted, considering them to be good. Otherwise, courage will vanish, which should continually test itself. Greatness of a soul will be lost, which can't stand out unless it disdains as petty what the mob regards as most desirable." That's good. That's all good stuff. That's all good stuff. Let me read it one more time. We must give up many things to which we are addicted. We got to give them up. It doesn't matter what we go through. It doesn't matter, you know, the kind of stuff that we got ourselves into, whether it be drugs, alcohol, sex, sin, whatever we're dealing with. We got to give it up. We got to give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Touch a neighbor and say, give it up. Give it up. I know it's been hard. I know it's been tough. I know it's been a struggle. I know it's been a journey. You've been fighting like Jacob against this thing called sin. You've been fighting. God wants to turn you into Israel. He wants to turn you into something that he can be proud of. But this thing has held you back for a long time. This sin, this degradation, whatever it is, it's held you back, and you don't need that kind of stress. You don't need that kind of drama. You don't need those kind of problems. You don't want that smoke. And so you got to give it up, and you got to actually know when to give it up. Okay. I remember somebody said when it came to their sin, they would be like, you know, when God was calling them out of their sin, they knew that he was like ringing the dinner bell. Back in the 90s, us kids, our parents would whistle us or call us or ring the dinner bell, and we would come and eat and sit at the table. You know, and so when God's calling you out of sin, you got to come and sit at the table. He said, come and dine. Come and dine. Come and dine. Come and dine. Come and dine with me. That's what he's calling you to do. That's what he's expecting for you to do. He's sent messengers out in the highways and the hedges, and he's saying, come and dine with me. I'm ringing the dinner bell. Come out of your sin. Come out of your degradation. Come out of your total depravity. And even the Stoics, who did not have scripture, saying the same things. They're saying, you got to know when to give it up. If it's killing you, you got to know when to give it up. If it's hurting you, you got to know when to give it up. If it's causing you pain, you got to know when to give it up. You got to know. You can't fight it. Some of you are fighting it. Some of you 40 and 50 and 60 years old, still trying to live like you 20 and 19 and 18. And even the 20, 18 and 19 year olds shouldn't be living the way they're living these days. But they are. But sin has no respecter of persons. It will make you a slave. It made us slaves to sin. And when we became slaves of sin, we did not have a choice into doing the things that we were doing. But Glory be to God who has given us the victory, brought us out of the darkness into the marvelous light, and brought us into salvation. And we are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to this world. We are no longer slaves to death. We are no longer slaves. We are prisoners of God. Paul said, I, a prisoner of the gospel. I'd rather be a prisoner of God than be a slave to sin, because his burden, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Okay. So that's what that was saying. All right. So it says this. It says we got to learn how to give it up. Otherwise, courage will vanish. Let me give you an example as to how courage will vanish. Okay, so what had happened was, all right, I had been taking anywhere in the anywhere in the TikTok or social media space or whatever the case may be. They have been talking about the benefits of cold plunging and taking cold showers. And I've been doing that. And I had to work myself up. I had to work myself up to take a cold shower, because especially in the wintertime, the pipes are cold. The water is cold. And man, it's like icicles hitting your back. But when I don't actually feel like doing it, I have to will myself into doing it. And I know it just seems like it's crazy, but it has so many good benefits, and I do feel those benefits in my body. So I've been doing it because, you know, that's just the kind of person that I am. Well, the truth of the matter is that I had actually lost the courage to take the cold shower about a day or two ago. And I noticed what happened when it happened. And my courage vanished. And I mean, I could just, you know, go take a cold shower tonight and just, you know, kind of get back in the routine or whatever the case may be. But when my courage vanished, I realized that it was working against me. Like, my courage was actively working against me. Like, I got like the cowardly lion, you know, off of The Wiz or The Wizard of Oz. You know, I didn't have any courage to take a cold shower. So when you don't continually test yourself and put yourself in a position of giving up your addictions, what happens is that you end up losing your courage. You end up losing your courage, and the loss of your courage will work against you, because you don't have the strength to actually do what you need to do. You don't have the strength to actually tell it no. And that's the point that I'm trying to get to. Actually having the strength to tell your addictions no. But first you got to see them. So it says that we have to give them up. But first we got to see our addictions. When we see them, then we got to tell them no. We got to turn off the triggers. And if we don't do that, every day that we don't do that, we lose courage. 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 If you have not subscribed to the YouTube channel, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are at 425 subscribers, and we are growing exponentially, and we're not going to give it up. So subscribe today. Click that notification bell and grow the channel. Send the message out to the algorithm saying, hey, send this to more people like me. Okay. We want you to write in the comments. I'm on YouTube tonight. I'm not on Facebook tonight. I'm on YouTube tonight. I gotta feed the YouTube people, because those are the people that are in our, you know, sphere. So go on YouTube and comment. Go on YouTube. I don't see your comments unless you go into YouTube. Now, the truth of the matter is that you gotta get that courage back. And the only way to get that courage back is to tell your addictions no. The only way to get that courage back is to tell the devil no. The only way to get that courage back is to actively fight against the people and the things and the energy that's trying to hold you down, and tell the devil no. Okay. And so that's not what Seneca means, but that's exactly what Seneca said. Let's say it. Let's go back into it. It says, otherwise courage will vanish, which should continually test itself. That means that you got to test yourself. You got to continually put your courage out there. You know, it's sometimes it's so daunting to do the YouTube. Like, I'm doing the YouTube thing, right? And I got people in the household, and I'm not in my studio. I mean, I'm in a studio, but it's not a closed door studio. It's open door. People walk and they see me, and they see me doing the YouTube stuff. And it takes courage to actually talk to a camera while people are looking at you like you dumb. All right. So but that courage has to be continually challenged. Courage has to be continually challenged, or else you're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. So what I tell my children when I was raising my older children is that if you're only willing to do the easy things in life, life will be hard. But if you're willing to do the hard things in life, life will be easy. Okay. And the only way to do the hard things in life is to continually find those hard things, test your courage and strengthen your courage because you are exercising it in the gym of your telling your addictions no. Okay. So that's what you got to do to get stronger. Greatness of soul is lost or will be lost if you do not continually strengthen your courage and tell your addictions no, which can't stand out unless it disdains as petty what the mob regards as most desirable. Now, the mob desires things to be mostly desirable. The mob regards the mostly desirable as being the thing that is desired, right? So the mob, the world, the masses are saying, you know, that the that sex outside of marriage is good and shooting people is fun and staying out late and smoking and drinking and partying and chewing and running with people who do that kind of thing. The world is trying to say that kind of stuff is fun. The Bible is saying to stay away from that negative energy. It's negative energy. It's not going to do you any good. You got to tell the devil no. You got to tell sin no. And you got to see as petty the things that people see as desirable, right? The things that the enemy wants you to see as desirable, you got to disdain it. You got to show it disdain. You got to show that you don't think that it's worth anything, that it has no value. And I come here to let somebody know today on the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast is that sin has no value. None whatsoever. Sin has no value. It cannot help you. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know who is joining us live tonight. I don't know you from a can of paint. I have 425 people that have subscribed to the channel. And I'm telling those 425 people that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I'm preaching to you even now. We might not be in a church, but I'm preaching to you. I might not be behind a pulpit, but I'm preaching to you. I might not be your pastor, but I'm preaching to you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ. Eternal life. We are raised up together with him. He died for us, bled for us. He gave us his promise. He gave us his riches and he took our poverty. That's what he came to do. That's what we're trying to convey, the message that we are trying to convey. And no sin can stop you. No addictions can stop you. So much so that the Bible let us know, and he tried to encourage us. He said, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The victory of the grave was to hold you down. The victory of death was supposed to keep you addicted until you die. Okay, but I come here to let you know that sin wanted to keep you addicted. But God wanted to take you out of your addiction, each and every one of us. He has, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish and have a promise to be relieved of your addictions and have everlasting life. You are not going to have eternal life, everlasting life, if you are addicted to this world. The things of this world, they are enmity. They are set at variance to God. They are against God. That's why you can't see it as desirable. The world wants us to fall in love and get addicted to the bells and the whistles of this world. But I come here to let somebody know on the podcast today that you don't get deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. When you plant it into the ground, it's not going to come up the way you planted it. You did this little thing, this small thing, this trifle thing, but God will remember it. The energy will be remembered, and it's going to come back to you 10, 20, 100 fold as you see fit. That's why the Bible says, it says, be not weary in well doing, but ye shall reap if you faint not. That means that I'm going to put good stuff into the ground. I'm going to put good energy out there. I'm going to cast my bread upon the waters, and everything that comes back to me is going to be pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will men give unto my bosoms. God is going to bless me because I sowed in tears, but I'm going to reap in joy. Okay, so that is the thing, that is the key that we need to remember. Don't sow that negativity. Don't sow into your addictions. It's going to come back to you in a hard way. For Matthew Perry, it came back to him in death. Now, for those who don't know Matthew Perry, he's the guy that was Chandler on Friends. It sowed death into him. It sowed death into Michael Jackson. It's so deaf into Prince. How many examples are we going to have of people sowing into the world and it reaping them death with no hope for eternal life if they don't get it together? Okay, so that's something that you got to be mindful of. Okay, that's something that you got to be mindful of. Okay, so let's see what it says. It says that we have to see these things as petty and don't desire them. Let's see what the commentary says, okay? The commentary says this. Ryan Holiday says, what we consider to be harmless indulgences can easily become full-blown addictions. So true. So true. How many times have you just did something one time and then it just became an addiction from there? Like the old commercial with the Lay's potato chips, they used to say, you can't just eat just one. When you get into sin one time, you end up doing it over and over and over again until God gives you the power to stop. The problem is that when you trespass and sin against God, the Bible says that he'll give you over to your own heart's lust. And there'll come a time where God will watch you suffer in sin because you didn't tell your addiction no. And when you say yes to the devil, you become fair game. Don't become fair game to him. So tell your indulgences no. They might seem harmless. That's what they say. There's no free lunch. There's no free lunch. That means that somebody offering you something for free, that is a hook. They are trying to hook you with something because it's going to cost you down the road. They're going to give you a taste. I remember I was reading 50 Cent's book. 50 Cent said that when he sold crack, that he would give it out for free just to get people hooked. And that's what the devil does. Sin, it sends sin your way to try to get you hooked on sin. It sends a man your way to try to get you hooked on sin. It sends weed your way to try to get you hooked on sin. It sends sex your way to try to get you hooked on sin. It sends arrogance and pride and all these different kind of things to hook you. They're hooks. They're trying to put hooks in your flesh so that you will be pulled into the enemy's camp. And they seem harmless, but they easily become full-blown addictions. And Ryan said, we start with coffee in the morning, and soon enough, we can't start the day without it. We check our email because it's a part of our job, but soon enough, we feel the phantom buzz of the phone in our pockets every second, every few seconds, meaning that our phones are not, you know, giving us notifications all the time, but sometimes it's a phantom notifications. Like, we think that our phone ring. We think that our phone has sent us a notification. We thought we saw a buzz. And every time we look at our notifications, you just checked it 5 minutes ago. You just checked it 2 minutes ago, and there was no notifications. Nobody liked your post. Nobody liked your stuff. Nobody liked anything that you had to say. You just posted it, and you keep on checking it to see if anybody liked what you said, and they still have. You're wasting time, and even that has become an addiction. You could be doing something else with your time, okay? Soon enough, these harmless habits are running our lives, is what Ryan Holiday says. The little compulsions and drives we have not only chip away at our freedom and sovereignty, but they cloud our clarity. We think we're in control, but are we really? As one addict put it, addiction is when we've lost the freedom to abstain. Addiction. This is how you know. This is how you're able to see your addiction. This is, some of y'all are just addicted. You're addicted. You're addicted. You're addicted. And this is how you see your addictions. If you don't know what your addictions are, let me show you real quick. It says you are addicted when you lost the freedom to say no. When you say, I don't want to eat that junk food, but you can't help it. Addicted. I don't want to be with that man. I want to give my life to God. No more sex. I'm going to be abstinent. He come over smelling all good, looking all good. And you give in with a bite of your lip. Addicted. Addicted. You addicted. All right. You can't tell that woman no. And she knows she got control over you. And she using you for your resources. She's using you for everything you got. Addicted. And you can't tell it no. You can't tell it no. Some of these things is just like, some people are addicted to working out. You can't tell your workout no. Some of you are addicted to cussing. You, every time you say you're not gonna cuss, a cuss word slip out because you're addicted. Can't tell it no. That's how you know you're a slave. That's how you know that the enemy got his hooks in you, that sin got his hooks in me. That's why Paul said, the things that I do, I should not do. And the things that I should do, those are the things that I don't do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That means that your flesh is addicted. And it's sending you to death. It's sending you to the grave faster and faster. And you have lost your freedom. And you know what the crazy thing about sin is? Is that the sin will make you feel like you're free, but you a slave. Sin will make you feel like you are free. I'm grown. I can do what I want. Can't nobody tell me what to do. Can't nobody tell me this. Can't nobody tell me that. But you're really a slave. You're a slave. You're a slave. You're a slave. You're a slave and you're a slave. And then one day you're going to wake up with a high body count, hating the fact that you got four different kids with four different baby daddies. Don't nobody want you, and you're in your 40s and you had to raise your kids by yourself and you crying because it's hard because you did the things in life that was easy and now your life is hard. When are you going to do the hard things in life so life can be easy? You can't. You know why? Because you're addicted. You don't see that. You don't see it. You don't feel it. You don't perceive it. There's no inclination and you have no proclivity. No, you have no awareness of your addictions. That's why Ryan Holiday said, "Let us reclaim that freedom." What that addiction is for you can vary. It could be soda, it could be sugar, it could be drugs, it could be complaining, it could be gossip, it could be the internet. Some of y'all addicted to the internet, you know it. It could be biting your nails. But you must reclaim the ability. Somebody touch a neighbor and say, reclaim the ability. Reclaim the ability. Reclaim the ability. Don't be a slave any longer. Don't be a slave to your wants. Don't be a slave to your desires. Don't be a slave to the peer pressure. Don't be a slave to social media. Don't be a slave to the delusion. In the last days, a strong delusional spirit will go out in the land and will fool the very elect if it could, but don't be a slave to it. You got to reclaim your ability. Reclaim your ability. You have a responsibility to reclaim your ability, responsibility, the ability to respond. Can you reclaim the ability to abstain, to say no, to tell the devil no, tell your sin no, tell your flesh no, tell the people no, tell people that's trying to suck your time, suck your energy, suck you into negativity. Can you tell it no? Tell the sugar no. Tell the devil no. Tell people no. Tell the backseat drivers no. Abstain from it. Because within you, within the Spirit of God that is within you, if Christ be in you, the hope of glory, in you is clarity. In you is clarity and self-control. You got it. You got it down on the inside. You're stronger than what you think. You're stronger than what you know. You're stronger than how you feel. You're stronger than what you're going through. Inside is clarity. Inside is self-control. You got it there. For the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. Temperance. That's the part I want to get to. Temperance. If you have the Spirit of God, you have temperance to the point where there is no law, no confinement, nothing that can limit how much temperance, how much self-control you can display. If Christ was beat up, and if Christ was, he had his beard snatched out, and if Christ went to the slaughter like a lamb and said not a mumbling word, he exercised unlimited self-control, unlimited temperance, unlimited discipline. And that same spirit is on the inside of you. If Christ being you, the hope of glory. You understand what I'm saying? So Christ don't understand you putting your salvation on the shelf because you want to cuss somebody out. Christ don't understand you giving away and ruining your witness and your testimony. He don't understand that God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart. He knows that it's desperately wicked. But he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Have you become new today? Have you become new today? I want to know. Your situations want to know. Your children want to know. Your job wants to know. Have you become new? Have you given life, Christ, your life to the point where you can exercise discipline without limit? Exercise self-control without limit. Because when you exercise your self-control and you know your why, and you know why you're doing it, that's when you know you have clarity. That's when you know what you're put on the earth here for. You need some clarity. To get that clarity, you need to be able to tell your addictions no. You need to be able to tell the devil no. You need to be able to tell sin no. Tell sin to go back to hell. I said it. Tell sin to go back to hell. Because I come here to let you know, if you suffer with Christ, you will reign with him. If you suffer with him, if you're able to tell your addictions no, you will reign. You will reign. You will reign. You will reign. All right, let's get into some scriptures, and we're going to knock off a couple here, so that just give you some context. 1 John 2, 16. It says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eye and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." If you are struggling with your desires and you can't tell them no, the desires of your flesh, the desires of your eyes, the pride that comes in this life, if you can't tell it no, you better believe it ain't from God. It's from the world. And any friend of the world is at enmity with God. Any friend of the world. You got people out there that's surfing and swaying and swaying and surfing and all that different kind of stuff as the new year come in. And they're using the vibrations of this world to try to attract people into being saved. But if you start off worldly, you're going to end worldly if God don't help you. Give God a sacrifice that he wants. He said to Moses, "Sanctify the people." My preacher coming out, my bad. Sanctify the people. Wash the clothes. Get them ready against the third day. Tell them to meet me at the mountain. Don't cross it because you ain't ready. Don't cross the barrier or you'll be shot through. Because you are too unclean to come this high. And I will speak to the people. And the Bible says that on the third day, that the mountain was full of smoke and fire. See, before, when Moses was there, it was just a tree. A bush was on fire. I'm sorry. Came back, the whole mountain got on fire. That's how you know that you're saved. It starts as a little fire. It starts off as a little sanctification, a little purification. And now when somebody looks at you, the whole mountain is on fire. Is your mountain on fire? Is your mountain on fire? I want to know. Touch your neighbor on the left and right. Ask them, is your mountain on fire? Touch your imaginary neighbor. Is your mountain on fire? Is your mountain on fire? Have you been in the wilderness for 40 years and you still got a bush? The bush is still on fire, but the mountain ain't on fire. The mountain should be on fire. There should be more sanctification as time goes on, not less sanctification. And anything other than this is not from the Father. 1 John 2:16 says, it says is of the world. 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. We're talking about seeing your addictions. All things are lawful, but they're not helpful. Okay? Some of this stuff is not addictions. But the more you do it, the more you get addicted to it. Some of this stuff. Like eating sugar. Having a sweet tooth every once in a while. It becomes an addiction when you don't have any restraint. It becomes an addiction when you don't have any control. And even the things that are lawful for you to have. He said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. But I will not be dominated by anything. That needs to be your mantra for 2024. That needs to be your mantra. That's what Paul said. He said, I will not be dominated by anything. Nothing will get me in a chokehold. I will not bow to any false god. I will not be in any kind of slavery mindset for the world, for my flesh, for my addictions, for things that want to control me. I'm going to exercise discipline. I'm going to exercise my faith. I'm going to get into the gym and discipline myself, show some self-control. I'm going to strengthen that muscle because I will not be dominated by anything. I don't care if it's lawful. I don't care if it's unlawful. I don't care if it is something that is harmless. I don't care if something that is an indulgence. It will not dominate me. Okay? That's the mantra for 2024. No domination for me. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God. I'm tuning up now. And resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you resist the devil, if you resist the devil, if you show the devil that discipline, show the devil that you put in the time in the gym to tell your flesh no. And you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. Because what's gonna happen is that you're gonna say, I'm ready for the test. I'm ready for the trial. And when the devil tries you, you don't have enough power to tell the devil no. Do you have enough power to tell the devil no? You gotta work on it. You got to 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 tell the devil no. Tell the flesh no. You got to. And the way you do that is to submit yourselves, therefore, to God and tell the devil no. Submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. Tell the devil no. 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Okay. Why is that important? That's important because of one thing. It's because some of y'all are addicted to bad company. Some of you are addicted to bad company, bad friends. Some of you are addicted to people who don't mean you no good. And they call themselves your friend. And they call themselves trying to help you. And they call themselves trying to be a missing piece, a missing puzzle piece in your life. And the problem with that is that they sucking you dry and you don't even realize it. They're sucking you dry and you don't even realize that you are the butt of every joke and you are addicted to bad company and you are not understanding, watch this, that you are the sum total of the five people that you spend the most time with. You are the sum total of the five people that you spend the most time with. That means that if you spend time with five losers, that energy is going to pull you down. If you are the smartest person in your circle, you got to find another circle because you don't want to be held to that level. You got to get out into some circles that's going to push you. You got to get out into some circles that's going to help you. You got to get out into some circles that's going to challenge you. That's why this broadcast is brought to you by BizExchange.network. BizExchange.network has people in this platform that are entrepreneurs and that are people who want to help you grow your business because your net worth is your network. BizExchange.network. This is how this podcast is being sponsored today. If you have not subscribed to the YouTube channel, subscribe to it today. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Send that out to the algorithm and tell the algorithm to send that out to more people. Thank you very much. Now, some of y'all addicted to bad people, and some of the bad people are who you call girlfriend and boyfriend. Some of the bad people are the ones you're dating. God forbid if you marry one of those bad people. You're trying to get your life together. You're trying to take the kids to church and the man don't want to come to church. There's a problem. And you're connected to that till death do you part. There's a problem. Write something in the comments. Write something in the comments if you know. Write it in the comments. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to the eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore." I'm praying that everybody under the sound of my voice will be restored. I'm praying that God will restore what the cankerworm and the locust have ate up. I want God to restore you from what your addictions have taken from you. The addictions have taken the health of your body, have taken the health of your mind, have taken the health of your spirit. But God, he said, "I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." He's going to restore it back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will God give unto your bosom. He's going to restore it today. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, "He's going to restore it. He's 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 going to restore it." And the Bible says, it says he will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's what happens when you get self-control. You get your establishing back. You get your establishing power. You get your no power. You get your sense of identity back. You get your authenticity back. You get your you back, your uniqueness back. The thing that says that you are you, your essence, your the thing that just that radiates you, your effervescence is what I'm trying to say. You get all of that back when you're able to tell the things you need to tell in your life no. Tell it no. Tell it no and get it back. And God will restore you and he will confirm you. And I speak that over your life, that you will be restored and you will be confirmed. Some of you have never been confirmed today in your life. Confirmed or affirmed. Okay, people don't tell you that they love you. They act like you're not family. They treat you like the black cat. They treat you like the black sheep. They treat you like the trash left over after Thanksgiving. But I come here to let you know that God affirms you. The Bible says that you are accepted in the beloved. If nobody else likes you, you are accepted in the beloved, accepted in the body of Christ, accepted in the family of God. And you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God has accepted you and has established you. Last scripture, Galatians 5:19-21. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I have a hard time believing that people who are willfully sowing seeds of discord and being divisive will have their place in the kingdom. Because it says it here in Galatians. Paul said it. He said that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They are fleshly. And the flesh is evident in their sexual immorality. They are evident in their impurity. They are evident in the fact that they are sensual. Lasciviousness. They have no self-control. Can't tell the devil no. They are idolatrous. They got a lot of things that they have before God. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, but you got your car before him, your house before him, the internet before him, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and all these things. You got it before him. If you don't acknowledge him, that's a problem. This is how you know you're in the flesh. Sorcery. Some of you working in sorcery, you don't even realize it. Enmity. Some of you are in enmity. You're at war. You're in hatred against certain things of the spirit. Strife, jealousy, fits of anger. You have fits of anger. You have a temper and you don't know how to take it down a notch. Everything gets on your nerves, frustrated. You're so temperamental. That ain't God. The Bible says that the spirit is easily entreated. That ain't God. When are you going to throw your temper away and get some patience, get some long suffering about yourself? It says that jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries. Some of y'all competing against one another. You're jealous and you're rivals and you got secret rivals, secret competition. You got ambitions against other people and their success and you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's not God. You're addicted to competition. See, that's why let me tell you something. I used to be, before I received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I used to be very competitive. That's why when I realized that if people are in competition with me, I bow out gracefully. I say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. Because I got to go. I got to move. I got to get out of here. I got to run. I got to get out of this place because I'm not good here. My mental health, my mental space is not good here. Because if I get up in my flesh and start trying to compete with you, you know what kind of monster that's going to bring out of me? And listen, I done killed my flesh years ago. It's gone. It's dead. I don't walk in the flesh, but I walk in the spirit. See, you got to remember, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Them that walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. You're only new when you are walking after the spirit. Because if you're walking in your flesh claiming to be new, that's an oxymoron. It don't work. So check yourself before you wreck yourself. The Bible says this. It says, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. You doing all that, you know you ain't got nothing to do with God. And the things, the like, that means that there's some things that he didn't mention, but they're associated with all this fleshly stuff. The Bible says that the people, he said, I warned you before. How many times God got to raise up a prophet? How many times God got to raise up a pastor? How many times God got to raise up an apostle? How many times God got to raise up a prophet or a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher or a pastor? To tell you these things year after year, generation after generation, book after book, podcast after podcast, to warn you against the lust of your flesh. And then he told the people before they got into the promised land, Moses told the people, you are going to forget God, and I'm writing it down in the book. I'm writing it down to remember, to remind you. so that it be a testimony against you, so it can be a witness against you that you are going to forget. This is how you know that you're really Israel, down to your core, is that you're stiff-necked and you're rebellious, and you know it. You're stiff-necked and you're rebellious and you know it. But God always has mercy by raising up somebody that's going to not care about what you think about them and will tell you the truth. It says, I warned you. As I warned you before, that means that the warning just don't come one time. It comes over and over. That those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that give in to their addictions will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who are giving in to the works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you gotta have enough self-control and discipline and the clarity to see your addictions for what they are, for who they are, for what they're trying to do. Sidestep them, juke them, put them in the spin cycle, give a spin move, do your best crossover and get away from your flesh. Get away from the devil. Be reminded in season and out of season. Be reminded of these things. Paul said, I'm coming to make sure that you are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Okay? He comes as a wolf in sheep's clothing. He comes as harmless, but he wants to get you addicted. Do you see your addictions today? One of the things, and I give this testimony to the glory of God, but one of these things that I had to go through is telling my diet no. I was killing myself with the foods that I was eating. I'm a vegan today. And I give God praise for that, because I had signs of heart disease. I had heart palpitations. I had things that were sending me to the emergency rooms of almost, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. And I was on high blood pressure medication. And the Lord spoke to me and said, take the meat out your diet. And when I took the meat out of my diet, 2 weeks later, he said, now go check your blood pressure. And when I checked my blood pressure, my blood pressure was down 165, from 165 over 90 to 118 over 80 in 2 weeks. But I still had dairy in my diet, and I was eating a lot of milk. I was drinking a lot of milk. I was eating a lot of eggs because I felt like I needed to get my protein. You know how that goes. And when I was testing my blood, my cholesterol and my lipids, they were still up. My triglycerides were up. Everything was still up. And I said, God, I'm taking the meat out of my diet. I'm doing everything I need to do. But I didn't realize that dairy was liquid meat. And I was addicted to the meat. I was addicted to the dairy. I was addicted to the cheese. And it was still killing me. And I took it out of my diet and I went to the doctors, and my doctor told me, he said, your cholesterol is very well controlled. Like, what are you doing? And I told him that I went whole food, plant-based. Some of y'all call it the Daniel fast. Let me tell you something. It wasn't a fast to Daniel. Okay. Daniel lived like that. He ate like that. That was a Daniel living, not Daniel fasting. And I took that stuff out of my diet. And I did not realize how addicted to food I was until I told it no. See, we harp on the big things, but we need to also talk about the small things. You understand what I'm saying? The small things. The things that is like gluttony instead of fornication. We talk about fornication and sin and all that different kind of stuff, but gluttony, being a glutton for food, lusting after what we want to eat. The Bible says that God slayed the fattest of the Israelites because they were begging for meat when he had them in manna. And the manna was enough to sustain them, but they wanted to tempt God and mutiny against Moses and ask them for meat. God sent a flock of quail their way, and they ate and they gorged themselves. And then God had his way by striking them down to the grave because of their lust. I had to check my diet. I had to check it. I had to bring it under subjection. You need to be actively looking for things to bring under subjection. When it came to me and working out, some of you can fast for 30 days, no food, no water, but you can't work out none. When you start working out, you say, oh, I'm gonna do one push-up. I'm gonna try it again next year. That should be a sign that that's where you know need to put some discipline in, because your body's told you no, and you became a slave, and you lost your courage, and your soul lost its vigor because you found something you don't feel like doing, like the cold shower, right? When you see it, attack it. Attack the hard stuff in life. Attack it. Attack it with prejudice. And watch what God does for your resolve. When the enemy comes in like a flood, watch the Spirit of God lift up a standard against it. Because you have power to overcome in the evil day. That is our broadcast for the day. That is our podcast. I want somebody to go on, and I want you to subscribe. Send this out. Share this podcast. Just click the share button. Put it on Facebook. Put it on Twitter. Put it on Instagram. Put it wherever you can put it. Share it. Share it in your messenger. Send it to people. Give them hope. Give them courage. Remind them to see their addictions. This is Bishop. D.D. Bishop. This used to be an old mother to say, Bishop. This is Bishop D.D. Lattimore. Thank you for joining us. And I'll see you next time. Have a great day.